Good Monday evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Source Material. Tonight, Ronnie Adams from the Screaming Boy podcast returns, and we discuss a book that he suggested quite a while back. For those of you that are Walking Dead fans, the name Robert Kirkman will ring a bell as the creator of the Walking Dead comic that the AMC series is based on. What you may not know is that earlier in 2003, the same year the Walking Dead comic was released, Kirkman wrote a superhero title drawn by Corey Walker. This book is still being released today. It is called Invincible. Join us as we discuss this first volume of the initial four issues of the series, focusing on the adventures of Mark Grayson, dealing with his entry into the world of superheroes, balancing school, and his crazy family life. Spoiler warning! We will spoil this book. Consider yourself warned. Now remember, we can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search Rattlitch, and don't forget to give the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts the network has to offer. All right, that's it. Let's talk about it. All right, well, let's go ahead. We'll talk a little bit about it. As I tell my son every once in a while. Matter of fact, I told him earlier today, he was mad because he didn't want to get up. I said, come on over here. Hop up on Daddy. You just tell me all about it. Tell me about it. And then we even have a little song. It's, you tell me about it, I tell you about it. You tell me, I tell you, you tell me about it. So, Ronnie, we're going to talk about it.
What is happening right now?
Invincible. So, first off, you know, when did you start reading Invincible?
I started reading Walking Dead, I think, first.
Okay.
I really wanted to read more of Kirkman. Mm-hmm. So I started looking into what he was doing, and I saw Invincible and read the premise of it. I've been following this since, you know, day one.
The beginning, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I did some trades. Man, I started reading it and just absolutely fell in love with it.
I could tell you that the first time I actually paid attention to the Invincible character was he was on the cover of Image United.
Mm-hmm.
The long, forlorn, tremendous crossover that was supposed to happen, which was just such a magnificent idea. And it seems whenever I turn my eyes to the Image side of things, something pops up that reminds me that, you know, this particular book has not been finished. Image United was an idea. It was going to be a book where they took all the, well, at least the standard or the, use the word, iconic Image superheroes, most of them from back in the day when I got into collecting Image comics, Savage Dragon, Shadowhawk, none of the Wildstorm universe, because at this point in time, they were over at DC, so can't say Wildcats or Stormwatch or anything like that. Supreme, I believe, was part of it. I know Spawn was, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, they were going to do this, and one of these days, I want to devote at least, like, maybe an episode to the first three issues, because this is a six-issue series that was going to be, okay, now this is, get this, they were going to take and tell this story, and each artist who owned each character was going to draw that particular character in whatever panel or however the story was going to be told. So if there was, you know, five or six panels with Spawn in it, Todd McFarlane was going to take over the pencils for Spawn and do that. But if there so happened to be Savage Dragon in the background, that panel had to be shipped off to Eric Larson in order for him to draw Savage Dragon in the background of that panel. Okay? So imagine that, man. I mean, just imagine the logistics of some kind of this undertaking that they were going to try.
Yeah.
Well, who was writing it? None other than Robert Kirkman, which I did not know until today. I've owned three of these issues, Ronnie. I don't think I've read them just because I think I have some kind of a... I look back at Image in the 90s. With very rose-colored glasses. And when I see something like they plan to do with this, I really didn't want to read it until it was all said and done. I didn't want to increase my longing for something that's no longer there. You know, Todd McFarlane's not doing, you know, he might be involved with Spawn somehow, but he's not writing Spawn anymore, as far as I know, or at least I shouldn't say that because I don't know for sure, but I know, you know, Todd probably took a leave from doing that. I know Eric Larson still does his thing. We've talked about that on here on our Savage Dragon podcast a while back. You know, some of the other greats that are in there, they don't have, as far as I know, they don't have books that they continually do.
Right.
Anyway, I find out that Robert Kirkman wrote this, and I remember going to the comic book store down here, Asylum Comics. You were there last weekend.
I was. I was very impressed with the shop. I'm not just saying that.
That's good to hear. So I go to Asylum, and I see Image United sitting there on the shelf, and I see this goofy-looking kid with blue-yellow costume. I'm like,
who the crap is that?
This is not my 90s Image superheroes. Who is this guy? And if I remember right, they did different covers for different issues. So, like, Spawn would be on one cover, Savage Dragon would be on another cover, but they would do, like, alternate covers for the same issue. And I remember sitting there going, I ain't gonna buy this stupid one with this guy on it. Who the heck is this guy? Well, turns out that's the main character of Robert Kirkman's superhero title, which is called Invincible. And a long-running title at that. I mean, you're not going to see... It's very rare that you see any Image Comics grace 50 issues.
Yeah.
Let alone 100 and, you know, where are they at now? Any idea? Like 130, 140?
Somewhere in through there. I've lost count, to be honest with you.
Okay. Might be close to 130. Nowadays, he's not famous for Invincible. You mentioned Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously something completely different.
I started reading Walking Dead and then got into more Kirkman because he did like Marvel Zombies and things like that. And I like that, but this was just a completely different animal. Like you said, him writing a superhero book, not like, I mean, he was always known as a zombie guy, you know, that's his kind of his niche.
That's something I learned today. I had no idea. I did not know he wrote Marvel Zombies either.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I watched a couple interviews on YouTube about this guy, and, you know, I've watched Walking Dead. Actually, me and Mindy just finished up the most recent season finale 2 days ago.
So you got to see Negan.
Yes, indeed.
Man.
And very, very...
Did they not pick the perfect actor?
Yeah, that guy. Mindy was sitting there, you know, she when he come out and the way he was talking... she was like, this guy is just insane. I was like, yeah, he's something else. I said, you should read him in the comic book.
He absolutely nails the attitude of Negan and the, you know, the comic book version of Negan, but of course they can't, there's only so much they can do with the language, you know, no matter, you know, what you say about AMC, they're, you know, they can't drop. They can drop a few, maybe one a season or something, but they can't, the amount of cursing that this character does in the comic book is just, it's crazy. And so they had to, you know, they had to tell him to tone it down. I've been a fan of Jeffrey Dean Morgan for a while, and I've watched him in movies. And I mean, even though, he did one other comic book movie, The Losers.
The Losers. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's a DC book. And I think it's DC, Vertigo or something. I can't remember. It wasn't a great movie. In fact, it was, you know, pretty poorly done. He did great in it. I mean, he just does good in everything, in my opinion. And then Chris Evans, of course, you know, he did great in something else other than, I mean, he had to get rid of some other typecasting and things like that. But I've seen him in that and Supernatural and a few other things. And I've just, you know, I've always liked him as an actor. And to pick him to do this was a brilliant move.
Yeah.
Little, I don't know. I mean, probably everybody knows it already, but in Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, he and Lauren Cohen, which are both in The Walking Dead now, played Martha and Jonathan? Thomas Wayne.
Oh, Martha and Thomas. Okay.
Yeah.
I should have known better. And Jonathan.
Come on, Star Trek.
I know, dude.
I'm kidding.
Well, the Martha threw me off. So
I mean, you know, you hear Martha and immediately
you become friends.
You become friends. Josh Calanderson, that episode has been so much fun to
edit.
Josh Calanderson and I kind of we address that. So, but man, it was just like right out of Step Brothers. Best friends. Yep.
So that's hilarious. Well, okay, so Invincible. Kirkman's trying his hand at the superhero genre.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out which came first, and I'm going to go ahead and hop on Wikipedia because what'd you say?
Chicken or the egg?
Wrong one. Invincible came out. Let's take a look here. First issue, Invincible number one, came out January of 2003. Now, Kirk, when did Walking Dead?
Gosh, Walking Dead's been around, feels like forever.
Publication date, October of 2003. So not too long after.
Not too long after, yeah.
Did I tell you about, and maybe you saw it on Facebook, but somebody was selling a first appearance of The Walking Dead. And, okay, yeah. Now, here's the kicker, all right? It's not a Walking Dead number one. It was a previews magazine soliciting The Walking Dead. All right. Now here's the crazy part. It was selling for unreal amounts of money.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding you, sir. Somebody put on there the first appearance of The Walking Dead, and it was a little write up in previews, and they were selling the previews mag, and it was, dude, and it was selling for crazy money. I know, dude. Did you hear about the guy that was selling air for Kobe Bryant's last game? He Ziploc bagged air from the game, and it was selling for thousands of dollars, my friend, and eBay came in and yanked the plug on it.
Good.
People, I don't know, man, if people are smart or if people are idiots, because the guy that's selling it, I would say that's a pretty smart dude. If he would have been able to at least get away with it, because there's an idiot out there that'll purchase anything, man.
Well, I mean, it's like the guy was trying to sell his own soul on eBay, and eBay told him, no.
You can't do that, unfortunately.
You can't do that.
Unfortunately. Walking Dead, according to this, the Wikipedia has the number of issues at 153. Now, I watched a little thing on Robert Kirkman, talking about Robert Kirkman, because I don't know I'm not too familiar with the guy. I understand now he's a partner at Image, or at least he was. This was back in the interview that they were doing in 2000, I think it was 2007. He was made partner, pretty popular guy. And of course, you know, when you got a great TV series now in the Walking Dead on AMC, that's just going, still continuing to go gangbusters. He's a pretty important dude.
Right, yeah.
Now, I read The Walking Dead first, obviously. You know, I was, I'll go ahead and freely admit that the internet helped me out with that one. And I can remember reading all the way up to issue 100 and probably past issue 100 on my iPhone 3. Yes, sir. I read all those issues laying in bed on an iPhone 3.
That's impressive, sir.
3S, as a matter of fact. But I can remember sitting there reading them, and you know, I was absolutely taken by the way that this guy was writing this book. So then you come to me and you're like, you got to read Invincible. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I didn't realize at first that was Kirkman. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give that a shot. And then, of course, I was able to gain access to the issues and picked them up digitally. So that's not like I have Invincible number one sitting in my collection or anything like that. Watching those interviews today, he was, you know who he reminds me of? If you look at the guy, he looks like freaking Kevin Steen.
He does. Doesn't he?
Sitting there,
you know, that's incredibly accurate.
I was so like, it's like, gotta find a meme. Somebody's gotta have a meme of the guy from Futurama saying, "Not sure if Kevin Steen or Robert Kirkman."
Yeah,
but anyway, physical appearance aside, I mean, this guy is like a really down to earth type of dude. At least the two guys that talked to him. But I'd mentioned.
Very soft-spoken, very humble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned about Image United. My thoughts are all over the place here. I think I should have made notes and maybe kept track of what I needed to do. In the interview that they did after the con, where they made him a partner, Image made him a partner, the guy that was there interviewing him, one of the guys from iFanboy, Ron... Oh, crap, I can't remember his last name. But anyway, Ron asked him, he says, so you guys just announced Image United. He's like, do you have any concerns With Images Records, do you have any concerns that this is, you know, pretty much asking, all right, do you think it's going to get done? And Robert Kirkman's like, I'm not concerned at all. No, I am not concerned. Not one bit. Sure enough, we sit here. That was 7 years ago, Ronnie, when that interview was done.
Yeah.
The last update you'll find on Wikipedia for Image United was that in 2011, Eric Larson had his part 60% done. Image United continues to haunt me to this day, even if I'm trying to do research on a freaking comic that I, or a creator that I had no idea had part in it. Yeah, just like you said, soft-spoken guy. I didn't really get into too much in the history. I mean, other than the fact that Kirkman mentioned, he was asked, you know, how was it getting into comics? What was it like? And he was working somewhere, I think at like this light bulb selling place or a lighting place somewhere. He said it was just right down the street from where he was living. And he was trying to do both things at the same time. He was trying to do comics and he was trying to work at the same time. But what would end up happening is he'd work till about 8 o'clock at night, go home and just start doing comics till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then he'd go to bed, get up at 8 o'clock the next morning, go to work. He said finally he just realized it was starting to kill him. It was too much. So he had to make a decision, and he told his wife, who was married at the time, and I believe they're still married, he says, I'm quitting my job and I'm gonna make a go at comics. And now it wasn't like it was an easy, oh my gosh, right all of a sudden he's got a hit on his hands.
Oh yeah.
He went into $40,000 in credit card debt.
What?
40 grand.
That sounds like Kevin Smith.
Did he have a similar situation?
Yeah, he sold off his entire comic book collection, maxed out all his credit cards and took loans out from friends and family to make Clerks.
Dang.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact dollar amount that he went into debt, but he went into debt pretty heavy. But the first thing he did was he bought his comic book collection back when it was a hit.
Oh, wow. That right there is scary.
Yeah.
Kirkman talks about how laying on the living room at his house, and he said he was doing the math, and just coming up with what the minimum payments were for his credit cards.
Yeah.
It was like $3,000 a month, and he's got to try and turn around. Can't remember what year he said it was, but there was one year where he only made a total of $300 a year.
Yeah.
You know, lightning strikes every once in a while. This guy can write.
Yeah.
Clearly he was doing Invincible just a short time prior to Walking Dead. I'm sure he had got his hands hands in the Marvel properties. Marvel Zombies.
And according to the others, Marvel Zombies came out later.
So he goes into Image and he does this superhero comic called Invincible. You know, right from the start, I'm like, okay, sweet. You know, this is going to be neat. You know, I'll give it a shot, see what it's like. The first volume, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, it's only four issues long. A very good quick read. One thing that I could say about comics that I enjoy, they're easy to read. And
it last long enough.
Yeah. When you're sitting there going, oh man, you know, I want some more. This guy knows how to get me to binge read a comic.
King of the cliffhanger, man.
He is too, dude. He really is. Because, you know, I think I started watching Walking Dead like shortly in the middle of the first season, I believe. May have even caught the first episode shortly after it aired. You know, watching that, I was like, oh my gosh, can't wait till the next show. Then start picking up the comics. And there were many nights as I was reading through those comics going, oh, holy crap, I need to get to the next issue immediately and figure out what happens. Very, very similar stuff here. He makes it easy to read. These first few issues, when it comes to cliffhangers, this is a whole new world for me when it comes to you know, the Invincible world of things, even though it's meshed in with the superhero world of Image Comics, there's not a lot of that going on. Not a lot of that in the background. You can't really tell he's part of the universe, just like you'd see, you know, if you're reading a Superman story and Batman shows up. It's commonplace.
Right.
Here you're not immediately familiar with the characters, which is a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
now, I will say later on, he does incorporate more of the Image universe.
Yes, I've seen Savage Dragon. I've seen Super Patriot, which are two that I'm pretty familiar with. You know, this particular universe, it's nice to be able to get kind of set up in. But let's talk about Invincible here, the character, okay?
Okay.
He's the name of our main character, a kid by the name of Mark Grayson, who is, he's senior year in high school, right?
Yeah.
And in this first chapter that we read, he's just hitting a point where he gets his superpowers. Go ahead.
He's just a normal everyday kid. He just slings burgers at a fast food joint, you know, after school job. Just a regular kid, you know?
Yeah, and we find out that Mark has a dad who is a superhero. Guy by the name of Omni-Man. Mustachioed. Nice looking mustache on the guy.
Dude, you got a great mustache.
And he's, I would almost say that he is the Superman equivalent.
Of
the Invincible or Image Universe here in this particular story. In this first chapter, we see where it's just commonplace for his dad to show up late at dinner and then talk about the day that he had fighting off crazy supervillains or this, you know, at one point he mentions fighting a dragon.
Yeah.
just all sorts of. Go ahead.
Really funny how they introduce him, because he's like, you know, dad's not home. She's like, no, he's been having trouble at work lately. You know, they don't know where he is. And then they look on the news and then they see Omni-Man fighting a dragon. They're like, well, at least you know where he is now. wait, what?
He'll come home and regale these tales at the dinner table of the crazy, insane day he had as Omni-Man. And his wife's like, okay, just don't forget to, you know, do the dishes when we're done here.
She doesn't give a crap.
She doesn't, man. It's just like, okay, you know, that's an everyday thing. So we're kind of introduced to his family life. And what we understand is that at some point, Mark is expecting to get his superpowers.
Right.
And you mentioned how he's flipping the burgers at the burger joint, goes to take the trash outside, which is something I don't know. Many kids can identify with, you know, as they're starting out with that first job, taking the trash out to the dumpster. And he goes to take the trash out to the dumpster and he goes to chuck it in there and whoops.
It tosses it into orbit. It
goes flying up into the sky. And, you know, as many people would expect, you know, you're thinking, well, this kid's going to freak out. And, you know, all of a sudden he just smiles. And he's like, cool. So he knows he was expecting it to happen. And now that it's hit, he realizes that, oh, man, I'm thinking I'm starting to get these superpowers. You know, the son of one of the most powerful beings of this, you know, of the world. Now he's actually going to start. He's going to start coming into his own as a superhero. Can you give us your best description of the type of powers that he has?
Just in that first, you know, when he talks to his dad about it, he's like, you know, hey, I think my powers are coming in. And, you know, you can see that he obviously has super strength because he chucked a bag of trash into space.
Yep, that's one thing. So we definitely know super strength for sure.
His dad, if he has the same powers as his dad, you see his dad flying. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, that, you know, with super strength comes invulnerability most of the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, his name's Invincible, for goodness sakes.
That's true.
Super strength, invulnerability, flight. You find out that he doesn't really need a whole lot to survive, like air. You know, he can go, I think his dad said at one time he can go a week without breathing. You know, holding his breath for a week, I should say.
Is there a point where he's like, I mean, really fast too? Does he have super speed?
I mean, that goes along. Super speed, you know, it's kind of like Superman. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it goes along with the whole territory.
Mm-hmm. So super speed, you know, he's got super strength, invulnerability, and flight. So, pretty much.
No eye beams or anything.
That's right. I was going to say, no eye beams, no weakness to kryptonite, as far as we know.
Right.
So, I
mean, if you look at the characters, I mean, later on, I mean, you actually see this through your issues. There's no real weaknesses to speak of.
Mm-hmm. Hence the name. Now, see, it's cool because he's got to try and figure out a name there. And this first chapter is pretty much about you go along with Mark Grayson on his journey as he becomes super powered and figures out what he wants to do. Of course, you know, as soon as he realizes what he can do, the next step is to follow in his dad's footsteps, and he decides to fight crime. We meet this guy who is actually a pretty prominent figure later on down the line, or at least, you know, we see him in a few issues, which is the tailor, the guy that creates the suit. Mark's looking for a name, and at one point, I think he gets in trouble at school because he does the Peter Parker thing where he kind of stands up to the bully. He puts this bully into the lockers, and the principal, which we find out, looks an awful lot like Carl Winslow from freaking Family Matters.
Because what's the name of his high school?
The Reginald Avell Johnson High School. Oh, good old RVJ. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he's in the principal's office, and the principal's like, you can't be going around doing this. You're not invincible, you know. And then immediately he's like, there's my name.
Look at that.
And of course, they got this, the costume, I've got to say, is actually pretty cool, especially for the fact that this comic is being published by Image. And when I first saw Invincible, I thought the eye really, I thought it was somehow related to the eye and Image.
Yeah, it looks very similar to the eye and Image.
Mm-hmm. With the, you know, the lowercase I and the big dot.
Yeah.
But of course, the I stands for Invincible. You know, it fits perfect. So there's chapter one, pretty much our intro to Mark, his family. I don't know, I can't remember what his dad's actual name is, other than Omni-Man. I can't remember what his actual name is. I'm sure his mom says it a couple times, but so our introduction there, chapter one. Chapter two, we get the origin of his father, and which is really neat. Kind of like a, and again, another, you could draw parallels to Superman, but this guy was not some kid rocketed out to space. This was a sentient alien being on an alien world who had made a decision.
Nolan. It just popped in my head. Sorry.
Nolan.
Nolan Grayson.
Nolan Grayson. Okay. He was an alien being, and there was this, they had, you know, this utopia of a society who had grown and decided to become people. Well, they decided to go out and help other planets. And to where they formed this thing called the Betterment Committee on that planet, to where they would go to almost, it's very much like, I know you're not the Star Trek fan, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So if I said that something about the Prime Directive at this point in time, would you know what I'm talking about, or would you even?
Not a dang clue.
The Prime Directive in Star Trek is to not interfere. You saw Star Trek. You saw the most recent one, right? Like the reboot. Okay. You know how they're
action movie.
They're on that planet, and they bring the spaceship out of the. You're not
supposed to interrupt anything, or
and
observe
exactly. And less advanced civilizations. Yeah. If it's more of an advanced civilization, they have a little bit of wiggle room to make a decision to go down there and interfere or take a hand into whatever matters are going on. Very similar to what the Betterment Committee does. The Betterment Committee would go and find worlds that they think are at a certain level of technological advancement, and then they would go bestow upon them, hey, welcome to such and such, welcome to the Federation. Oh man, I love dropping these Star Trek.
I bet you do.
So that's kind of what the Betterment Committee is. Now, Mark's dad, Nolan, decided at one point that he was kind of, he had glimpsed Earth, and he convinced them to go check Earth out. They're kind of watching Earth from afar, and the Betterment Committee says, you know what, these guys are, they're not just at the level we want. So somehow Nolan says, look, let me go and live among them. And they're like, okay, well, you can do that, but just be aware, Earth is way far out there in the universe, and we may not be back for a while. So he's like, okay. So that's how Nolan, Omni-Man, gets to Earth. Of course, he gets to Earth, he has all these tremendous powers, not powered by the sun, which is that is made apparent in the first issue. There's a little bit of a sly crack from the tailor there, but
we thought his powers were solar based, but
yeah, he's like, we thought they were solar because he gave him that costume, it had all these discs on it.
Yeah, they collected solar energy.
Yeah, and no one looks at him and says, that's okay. You know, that's a common mistake. But so anyway, the Betterment Committee leaves Nolan on Earth, and he decides, well, with all these powers, I'm going to become a superhero. Of course, he mentions meeting his mom. It doesn't go into that whole story. So we kind of figure out where Nolan came from and what happened and what led him to be where it is. And of course, Nolan's sitting there and telling his son this, and his son's like, I don't know, 10 years old or something. But he's trying to tell them, you got to be prepared, because at some point, you are going to be old enough to where you're going to start developing your own powers. There you go. That's just kind of a glimpse as to how Omni-Man came about. Yeah, a little bit of the backstory there. We fast forward to the present, and we get to meet Mark's still trying to kind of get a handle on his powers and stuff like that. He's kind of picking up fighting crime. He stops some of these two big old blue goons, which they're pretty common. One of them, the clones,
kind of mainstays in the old.
Yeah, and I don't think it happens in this first chapter, but these guys are clones. I'm not giving anything away here, but no. One of them's a clone. It's so funny because every once in a while they slide this banter in between them where, like, you're the clone. No, you're the clone.
You're the clone.
And you're the clone. You're the clone. And so there's this constant question that hasn't been answered so far as I've been reading this. Which one's the original one? They're knocking off We Be Toys or Toys Be We. Toys Be We. My bad. They're knocking off Toys Be We, and they're grabbing a bunch of game boxes out of there for these processing chips and Invincible.
Robert Kirkman with this stuff is not, I mean, doesn't put a whole lot of thought into that. Toys Be We and game boxes.
Yeah. You can clearly see in the interviews that he does where he's just like, oh, I thought that was cool. That was a cool idea, but I was just like, whatever. And he didn't care. I mean, he was just putting stuff on a page. He wanted to create something that he wanted to have fun in. So he didn't put a whole lot of thought. That sounds almost like an insult, but it isn't really, because he wanted to have some fun. And when you're the most fun you're ever going to have is the mindless fun that you can ever have, you can have a lot of times. And that's kind of what he's doing here. Mark shows up. He was just out for a nice night flight, by the way. He's not in costume or anything. Shows up there, stops these guys from stealing these game boxes. He meets the teen team. Teen team. So another parallel to like the Teen Titans or something. There's four members, I think. There's maybe five. We got Adam Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's ATOM, folks. We got Adam Eve. We've got Rexplode.
Rexplode. Greatest name ever, by the way.
Duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, four members.
Second greatest name ever.
Robot.
Robot. Your name is just Robot.
That's all he's known as, is Robot. But Robot is clearly the leader of the team because he's very smart. And he's
a robot.
As far as I know, he's a robot. I don't think there's anything that leads us to believe that he's anything other than a robot at this point in time.
Yeah.
But the teen team shows up. They wrangle these guys, and that's kind of how these two meet, the teen team and Mark. He looks at Adam Eve, who is a girl, okay? ATOM, remember. Adam Eve is this girl, and he recognizes her, but he can't place her. And then the next day at school, he realizes, oh, crap. Hey, I go to physics with this girl.
Yeah.
So they meet up, and of course, they're talking, and they have this kind of kinship that they're both superheroes. There's another instance where they track one of these clone guys to the hideout. Mark ends up helping the teen team take these guys out and all these robots. So he helps them once again, and he's offered the opportunity to join them. Robot says, hey, you know, you're awful helpful. Give us some thought about joining us. Right at the end, there's a Twin Pines Mall that's sitting there. They cut to the scene, and this kid wakes up on this bench. It's out of nowhere. Wakes up, and he's like, well, you know, what am I doing here? Opens up his shirt, and there's a bomb strapped to him, and boom, it goes off. And that's our cliffhanger for Chapter 2. What's going on here? So, man, I'm jumping, you know, I'm going through these like gangbusters. What do you got to say about Issue 2 here? Anything that...
I like the thought of the Teen Team. It was the whole thing. I mean, you look at it. He pulls the Peter Parker in the first chapter, in the second issue. Like you said, he's just testing everything out. He wants to know if he can fly. So that's how, you know, he's laying in bed. And he's like, I can fly. Yeah, I can fly. And he gets bored and he just goes out for a...
And who wouldn't?
Exactly. If you can fly, you're going to go out and test it out.
Oh, dude.
I love that because he's just a kid, you know, and he wants to do what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of parallels to other comic books, and they do it tongue in cheek, and they don't really, really rip anybody off, especially with some of the main characters, you know, some of the, not main characters, but the ones that, you know, they stay around for a little while, like the team.
Mm-hmm.
But any comic universe worth its salt has got to have teenagers on a team somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, there's been multiple ones in Marvel, and then you think about the Teen Titans in DC. So, but the one thing that really stood out to me was when, you know, they got to know each other. Or, I mean, they, you know, found out who each other were in school was Adam Eve and Mark.
I believe her name is Samantha, by the way. I think her first name's Samantha. Samantha Eve something. But
yeah, she goes by E.
Yep.
They go into this dumpster and they change to, you know, into their superhero costumes and they fly away. Mark actually looks at her and says, but now that we're in costume, how do we get out of here without being spotted? Because they're behind the school. And they just fly up and she says, you'd be surprised how rarely people ever look up.
It's true.
And I was like, that's a really good observation because everybody's so caught up in their own lives. They don't take time to look at the sky and all that. You know, where I'm sitting right now, I can see a little bit out my blinds, and the moon is absolutely gorgeous tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think of stuff like that. You know, how often do you actually take time to look up and to look around? Little things like that that make me go, you know, Kirkman is a heck of a writer, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he would think of that.
You're Mark Grayson. Now you've realized that you've got superpowers. You know, you're thinking about, you're not going around advertising who you are and what superpowers you have or anything like that. You've got a mask on to try and hide your identity. You now just found out that there is a girl that's in your class that almost does the same thing. She's a superhero. Instant connection?
Yeah.
And
you got to be careful, too, though. I read too many comic books and watch too many shows because you don't know if she's going to be evil. But then again, she is... she is drawn very attractively.
she's quite attractive. Even Mark even says that at one point here, and later in this next issue. So who's your favorite off of the teen team? Got to have a favorite. Who's
probably
your favorite?
Probably Rex Blood. He's just a giant D-bag, and he doesn't care. And he's kind of, his power set is kind of like Gambit.
He takes
things and charges them and makes them, you know, turns them into weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They explode.
They explode. All right, so we're going on to chapter 3, and this is a fun one. This is where I was like, oh man, this is getting good. This is fun stuff. This is really fun stuff, because a lot of times these independent comics, you and I both know, they're going to focus, they could focus on relationships, they could focus on this, they could focus on that, and there just may not be a whole lot of action.
Right.
Okay. But in this third chapter, things kind of hit that superhero level that I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that the kid that got blown up, we find out that he was a student, a fellow student of Mark and Samantha's, or Mark and Invincibles and Adam Eve's, at the Reginald Vell Johnson High School. The principal is, you know, addressing the student body and saying, look, you know, we're really concerned. We've got a couple, there's another missing student. Mark, finally, now you put yourself in Mark's shoes, you tell me if you do this, okay? Mark...
Okay.
Still goes to work, just like a good kid.
Yeah.
Got all these superpowers. Good kid. But, and his dad he even says that his dad expects him to do this job because it builds character. And then we got the tyrannical manager coming in yelling about fries. Mark quits immediately. Is this you, Ronnie Adams?
Oh, shoot. I would have quit when I found out I could fly.
he tries to stick it out.
Yeah. That's a better man than me.
Yeah. And I think I couldn't blame him. It's time to get out of there. So he ends up quitting his job and goes back home. I don't think he comes out and tells his dad, but he suits up that night after dinner. He's going to go back out. And his dad's like, hey, you know, why don't we, maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was during the day in the evening. I can't remember. His dad says, hey, you know, it's time for us. Why don't we team up? Why don't we go on patrol together? And Mark's like, sure, let's do that. So Omni-Man and Invincible take off and go take care of business as as casually as they can, carrying on a conversation in between as flying through the skies. And it's so crazy because he'll be sitting there, the panels are, you know, him flying by his dad, and all of a sudden his dad disappears for a panel and then comes back. He's like, oh, sorry, just had to go stop a dam from breaking.
Yeah. It's nonchalant.
You know, yeah. This is the life of a superhero. It's got to take care of business when you can. So they team up, and then, of course, this big, you know, the big conflict happens where he gets this call on his radio, whatever. There's something going on in this. They don't even mention where it's at. All I know is, like, there's Air Force jets just, you know, laying down fire on this spot. Both Invincible and Omni-Man show up there, and there's just tons of aliens coming out of this portal. And like I said, I got excited because we got to see some of these, you know, this crazy stuff that was, these crazy fights. We finally get treated to a good battle.
Yeah.
And so there's like thousands upon thousands of these alien creatures. They're humanoid, but they're green, and they're coming out of this portal, and they're trying to handle it as best as they can. Omni-Man starts to feel like they're overwhelmed, but then they start to notice something, which this is key, but, you know, these aliens start, like, aging really rapidly, and Mark looks over at his dad, and he's like, you know, is it me, or is this just getting easier? And then they start looking at the aliens, and, I mean, they're aging by the minute, till finally, the aliens are like, well, screw this, we can't beat these guys, and they all head back into the portal and leave. And, I mean, Omni-Man was like, you know, I almost had to call in reinforcements because it was getting pretty bad out there. We were getting overwhelmed. So they kind of got a lucky break. It was funny because Mark, as Invincible as he's, you know, so new to the game, he has no idea that it was getting that bad at all. Just kind of show you how green he was. He thought, you know, everything was okay. Shortly thereafter, there's another call. Omni-Man is aware of something else that's going on. He tells Mark, he says, you need to keep up because there's an emergency. And he takes off flying, and Mark's trying to keep up. And Omni-Man ends up flying right back down to, I think it's Twin Pines Mall again.
Mm-hmm.
Mark shows up just in time to see his dad grab a hold of this kid, open up his shirt, and there's another bomb planted on a kid. And he asks him, who did this to you? Who did this to you? The kid has no idea. So all he has left to do, because it's counting down to like 3, 2, 1, Omni-Man just chucks the kid into the air through the hole in the roof of the mall, and the kid goes flying in the air and explodes. So we have another kid dead by these bombs. And then immediately after that, you know, as Mark's trying to figure out, well, what the hell just happened? He turns around to talk to his dad when all of a sudden, whoop, teleport opens up and these green aliens come in and grab him, his dad, and take him into the portal. You know, Mark's just kind of sitting there like, what just happened? And then he has to go home. And this is, again, this family dynamic is just so interesting. It's very almost Incredibles, you know, the movie Incredibles. I get that from it almost. But he has to go home to his mom, whose mom's sitting there as faithful as ever, getting the pork chops ready and getting the table set. You know, she's like, I think she says something like, I need to expect you guys to both be late from here on out, apparently. And he's like, well, dad kind of got sucked into a portal. and then she's like, okay, well, I guess that leaves more for us. She's like,
just being, you know, you gotta be strong when stuff like that happens, though.
Yeah,
if your husband or wife is a superhero and you know crap's gonna go down, you can't like fall apart at every second because you'd spend your whole life falling apart.
And that adds to the story too, because you gotta think what it would have been like at the beginning of their relationship as she was just getting to know Nolan before they got married, before they had a kids or whatever. The fact that this guy was going off and facing Lord knows what.
Yeah.
There could have been plenty of instances in the past of graver threats that hit this earth or attacked Nolan at some point. And some of the stuff we're seeing, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And she's just like shrugs it off. So I'm sure at some point in her, she's had to develop.
She's probably seen it all.
Yeah. Develop a thick skin in order to try and deal with what's going on. Let me ask you this. What do you think about Mark and his relationship with his dad?
You read it and you're like, man, these guys, this is like the best dad ever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's just a good dad. He always has time for, you know, his family, unless the world is in grave danger. Mm-hmm. He makes it home in time to eat. And, you know, he may be late, but he still sits down with his family. Instead of, he encourages his son by saying, hey, let's team up. Instead of saying, you know, you can't do this. You've got to be careful, blah, blah, blah.
That's a good point.
He's like, well, hey, if you know, I can't do anything about it. So you've got these powers. So let's see what you can do. And now maybe I can train you.
Would you say that he's excited about the fact that his son's now got these powers?
It's kind of like when you find out that your son has the same interests as you. So I love to fish, and my dad is an avid fisherman. When Dad found out that I liked to fish, he was like, holy crap, this is something that we can do together. Mm-hmm. And he gets excited when I'm like, hey, Dad, I got a week off. You want to go fishing? And he's like, yeah. I mean, you almost have to calm him down. And me too, because I get to spend time with my dad. You know, we both get to do something that we love.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a cool father and son story.
Yeah. You're right on the fact that he's kind of encouraging his son.
Yeah.
You know, as a parent myself, my son starts, if I have superhero powers or not, okay, yeah. My son starts flying in the air and throwing stuff into orbit and starts.
You want to encourage that.
Well, I don't know, man. Me personally, I'd be excited, okay? But I could tell you, I would be on the way that I thought that Robert Kirkman was going to go was make this dad a real stuffy dad. Now, son, you can't be going out there and going off willy-nilly and you can't be doing this and you can't be doing that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you getting into this kind of trouble. And, you know, because that's kind of what I'd be doing. Don't be kid. Listen, just kind of stay home and watch your YouTubes, okay?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. You've got in The Man of Steel, mm-hmm. The Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Kittenat is like, hey, just calm down. Don't worry about it. You know, you can't use your power. You can't let anybody know who you are. And Nolan is like, nah, dude, let's, you know, get you a mask. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hey, we'll team up.
Yeah. Here, I'll take you to my tailor.
This
guy made me a suit.
It's like my dad loves it when he's like, hey, let's go get you a rod. I'm like, Dad, I've got a rod. And he's like, let's go get another one. All right, let's go. He's like, you need your license? No, I got my license. We can get your license. Dad, I've got my fishing license. All right. He just gets excited.
I can identify with stuff like that. When you show an interest in what your parent does, the parent is going to get excited about it. And I think that's, you're right. I think that's what's going on here. Omni-Man is stuck in a different dimension. We don't know what the heck's going on with him. You know, we end chapter 3 with Mark and his mom having to come to the understanding that, Dad's gone for right now. Hopefully he'll be back pretty soon. Pretty commonplace because I think, you know, the wife, like I said, just deals with it, goes on. So we get into the final chapter of this first volume. You know, the investigation's still continuing as to what's going on with these kids that are showing up with bombs on their chests.
Right.
Robot's doing some... good old Robot. He's hard at it trying to figure out what exactly is occurring. But we find out that Mark recognized that most recent kid that got killed as a student that goes to his school. So he goes and talks to Robot and he says, hey, this is what's going on. They're continuing to try and figure out, put the pieces together and to figure out, you know, what the connections are, why these kids, and, you know, who's got the capability to attach these bombs to these kids. Because this is not like, this isn't just a typical C4 explosion. From what I remember in reading, is like when these things exploded, it like would leave. They explode. Like there's nothing left. No evidence. Throughout this issue, we get this neat little, there's like this implied relationship amongst everybody, or I should say, let me put it this way. A lot of people believe that Mark and Samantha and Invincible and Adam Eve are seeing each other at school. They think that because now these guys are hanging out together a lot more, there's a relationship going on. Now, Samantha is actually dating Rex Blode. And she makes that very clear up front to Mark at one point in the book. It's like, hey, look, you know, I'm dating Rex Blode, right? Okay, you got to understand. Oh, no, I'm not interested in any of that. But everybody else around them seems to think these two are a couple no matter what. They think that Mark and Samantha are a couple. Mark and Eve. You said they call her Eve. I need to remember to start calling her Eve. So they're thinking Mark and Eve are a couple. There's even at one point where this teacher in the class that they're in thinks that they're a couple. He outs them because they were talking or something like that. And then, you know, he says, just because you're sitting there talking to your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever, and then the whole class, like...
Yeah, giggle, giggle, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, exactly. There's not sexual...
Click.
They do. They click. There's not sexual tension, as far as I could tell. You could tell he's kind of like, you know, he thinks she's hot. But it's not like he's trying, right?
And, you know, she's cool, and she's, you know, she gets it because she... She's a superhero, too, and there's somebody that he can talk to.
Mm-hmm. So next up, they finally find out who the villain is that's been blowing up these kids. And it turns out it's the teacher that just gave them a hard time. Mark and Eve decide to suit up and go confront this guy at his house. And as far as villains go, this guy is like the...
He's kind of lackluster.
Yeah, he's vanilla. He's pretty darn vanilla. I mean, he shows up. They show up, and they're like, you know, they're expecting this guy to, oh my gosh, they're here. Oh, they're gonna kill me. But he doesn't. He's like, well, I understand why you guys are here. It's a little bit earlier, and I thought you guys would get here. But why don't you come on in, Mark and Eve, and I'll talk to you about it. And they're like, what? You know?
So anyway, it's pretty much like, I'm not headless.
Yeah, he's like, you don't even freaking wear a mask, Eve. It's not too hard to put two and two together here. I'm a physics teacher or whatever. They go in there, you know, they follow this guy into his house, and he's monologuing about as to why he did it. Popular kids, this, blah blah blah, that. His own kid committed suicide or something, so he decided to take revenge against the popular kids by selecting the popular kids, wiring a bomb into their body. Okay, this isn't just a bomb placed on them. He like biologically wired the bomb into them.
Yeah.
Somehow he takes them down into the basement, and there's this kid that we kind of saw in a couple issues before by the name of Derek, some jock who's laying there, and he's wired with a bomb. And they turn around, and they see the teacher who opens his shirt, and he's got a bomb. And he's like, "Yep, by the way, I'm planning on killing you guys right now." Mark immediately grabs him and flies up into the sky, and apparently flies far enough, even though it's only a couple panels, tosses him into the air. The teacher explodes with enough force to send him flying down to the ground, which turns out to be a snow-covered Arctica or something like that. So he flew fast enough to get this kid to get this teacher out of the area to Antarctica in a couple panels. Pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
But invincible, none the worse for wear. Gets up, shakes it off, and flies back to the house. Kid's going to be okay. Derek's going to be all right. They've got him out of there. I believe their robot is working on trying to get this, you know, figure out how to make sure that this bomb doesn't explode or whatever. So the kid's going to be all right, from what I understand. These two kids, you know, save the day. And we get our overarching story arc is now resolved. What's left but for Invincible to go home and eat dinner just like he does every other day. So he gets home, goes to his room. His mom's got dinner on the table. And a few minutes later, his dad walks in. His dad is like, he just looks like he's been
haggard.
He's been through hell and back. He's got this beard going down to his chest. And he's just like, you're like, oh man, what happened? Turns out, in that other dimension where these time, I call them the time dilated aliens. I have no idea what they're actually called, but he goes into that dimension, and time works differently there. And even though it's been like a week or something like that here, maybe not even that.
No, I think it was a couple of days.
It's been 8 months for Nolan over there in this other dimension. He's lived almost like, you know, almost a year over there in this other dimension. And he sits down at the table, they get ready to eat. Of course, his mom's like, well, tell me about your day. And then, you know, Mark's like, well, you know, hey, I had to, got to watch my teacher explode. I saved the day. And then his dad's like, well, yeah, I was in a dimension and stuck there for 8 months and blah, blah, blah. He had to overthrow this kingdom and then convince some science guys to figure out a portal to open a portal back to Earth. Just absolute insanity. And his mom's like, oh, okay, well, who wants dessert?
Yeah.
And that's where we end it. So, again, we finish out on this family dynamic between Mark, his dad, Nolan, and mom, who I can't remember her first name.
Deborah.
Deborah. You know,
slappy.
Samsonite.
Samsonite.
Yes, indeed. The family dynamic between Mark, Nolan, and Deborah is there. It's neat to watch that, see how this is going.
He's finally come across his first, I don't want to say nemesis or anything, but he cracked his first case.
Yeah, he cracked his first case. First big villain.
Yeah, first big villain. Killing kids. I mean, high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
He fought his first big battle against the aliens with his dad. It's just so much fun to read these first four issues.
You know what I love?
What's that? Is
the fact that we can't talk about what's going to come up here pretty soon.
That's what's killing me. I need to talk about that.
I know, dude.
There's just so many plot twists and crazy stuff where you can't help but go, what?
These first four issues...
They've laid so much groundwork.
Exactly. They lay the groundwork. It's not... Holy
not
crap!
Boring.
Yeah, it's not holy crap. Blow your mind away. Keeps you entertained, but it's not like Robert. Kirkman. I assume he had the idea of like, okay, I'm going to start it out slow here, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, and this. But we've got to establish a few things first. Very typical superhero story. Kid gets his powers. Kid potentially joins the team. Kid, just like you said, cracks his first case. And really the only thing that's kind of out of the ordinary here is the fact that he's a high schooler, trying to balance that with the fact that, and the other thing that's kind of out of the ordinary is his family life.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got to go home, and we've still got to go to bed at night. We've got to talk to mom. We've got to eat dinner. We've got to do the dishes. We've got to do our laundry. So there, it's neat how they kind of interplay that bit of commonality, in between the issues. So, but these first four, just like you said, I agree, lay the groundwork. Things are going to get much more fun as we go ahead, because we're just doing volume one tonight. We're clearly going to be going into volume two and forward from there, because again, this series is one that I could not put down. For a very good reason. I love some of the stuff that's going to be coming up. I know I tweeted you or sent you a message immediately.
Yeah.
A couple of times of like, oh my gosh, holy crap.
Yeah. The first four issues ease you in.
Yeah, there you go.
And they help you get to know your characters and especially Mark. And the other thing I like about it is you don't think of superheroes having a home life, because most of them, you know, don't show that, or they don't have one or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Batman is Batman no matter what.
Uh-huh.
Whether he's hanging out with Alfred or whatever. The reason they don't show much of his home life is because he hangs out with his butler and a kid.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much to that. Superman, I've said it before, the coolest thing that I've ever heard about Superman is it was written by Quentin Tarantino in Kill Bill. Bill is talking to the bride, and he's like, he loves superheroes, and he's talking about Peter Parker and everything. He said, but Clark Kent, Superman is the most interesting one, because Superman is Superman. He didn't start off as Clark Kent. He started off as Superman, and he adopted Clark Kent. Whereas Peter Parker adopted Spider-Man, Bruce Wayne, Batman, all these superheroes were their normal selves first, and then they became super. Well, Superman was always a superhero. You know, he always had his powers, but he adopted a human persona to be like us. And how do you see us? Clumsy, weak, blah, blah, blah. You don't see much of him hanging out with Lois and stuff, or, you know, he and Lois aren't married now, stupid new 52, because he is Kal-El. He is Superman. You know, he's not Clark Kent. He is Superman. Mm. So to see a normal family dynamic, the kid, the mom, and the dad hanging out, eating dinner, clean your room, do your homework. You're not going on patrol with your dad as a superhero until you do all your chores, kind of a deal. It's really fun. It's really cool to see in a superhero comic book, you know. And his dad is a novelist. You know, he tried to, I think it was nonfiction first, and it flopped. And then he just started putting all of his stories into fiction, I think no. I'm sorry. He tried fiction at first and it flopped, and now he's a travel guide. You know, he writes travel guide books or traveling books, you know, about other countries because he goes to different countries. And so he, you know, he does all the, you know, he does that, and he has a day job. And his, you know, his mom's a housewife.
I remember at the beginning of that first issue where dad's over in Malaysia right now and fighting the big, you know, the big demon or whatever, and his mom's like, well, I hope he picks me up something from Malaysia. I haven't got anything from Malaysia before.
I've never been there. I hope he buys me something nice. He's fighting a giant fire-breathing dragon. So it's just interesting, and that's what drew me in. It's just it's a different look on the superhero genre to me at this point. Now, I will tell you, dear listeners, that it gets crazy.
I can't
and
wait.
It draws you in, and you just there's certain things in this that you can't believe happens. I will tell you this: there is this is not a spoiler, but there is a character that comes along, and his name is Alan the Alien. And at first, I was like, "That's ridiculous," but Alan the Alien became one of my favorite characters.
Oh boy,
Kirkman knows what he's doing, and he takes the generic and he makes it special. Because of, you know, the generic game boxes and Weeby Toys or whatever it was. And
Toys Be Wee.
Toys Be Wee. And then he takes a character named Alan the Alien, and he just gives him so much. He takes this alien, this being, and gives him so much character, and it's so much fun. I can't recommend Invincible enough.
I want to spoil something real quick. This is not a big spoiler or anything like that, because I know we're going to talk about it when we hit like volume 3 or volume 4 or whatever. I think one of my favorite humor related panels or humor related little inside things that he got into these books so far that I've read was who was it he was talking to? I can't remember what.
Are you talking about the comic panel?
Yeah, where he's like,
and he's poking fun at himself and yes. Comic books in general, because Mark realizes he's at the mall or at the comic book shop, and his favorite comic book author
That's
and artist
it.
Was there.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the situation.
And so he's getting his stuff signed, and he's like, "Hey, you know, sometimes I notice that your books, you know, how do you get your books out so quick?" He said, "Well, sometimes we just take the same background art and use it over and write different text on it." And it shows them standing there looking at each other. And Mark asks, "Well, isn't that cheating?" And it's the same picture. And then the fourth panel is, "No, not really." And I was like, that's so brilliant.
It is, too. It is brilliant. Great.
I have to wait too long between issues right now.
I bet you that's rough.
Yeah, sometimes he doesn't. I don't know if there's a set schedule for Invincible right now, which is fine because he's got so much more on his plate. I mean, there are certain titles that I never collected, so I don't know if they're still running, like The Astounding Wolfman. I think they did a
somebody
science.
Somebody suggested that. It's not bad.
I liked it.
Okay.
And what I read of it, I should say. And then, I mean, of course, he's got The Walking Dead, and he's got all the stuff that he's got going on with it. I mean, he's written every issue of The Walking Dead. I mean, he's never had a guest writer or anything. So
that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. And I, you know, give him some leeway because Walking Dead is usually right on time. sometimes I'm just like, you know, it's been like 3 years since the last issue. Can we get one? I mean, that's what it feels like.
Oh, okay. I just want to say, shoot, has it really?
No. But I really, that's how much I enjoy this run, and I've stuck with it so long. And it's, you know, it has in a good way gone off the rails and gotten crazy, but it's a good gone off the rails and crazy. This book is really, you know, if I didn't collect any other book, it would be this one. If I had to choose two, it would be this one and The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a testament to how good Robert Kirkman writes a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, for listeners out there who are wondering if this is a good series to pick up and start reading, you know, if you can catch trades pretty easily at the beginning and start from there, there's a lot of content. Comixology obviously offers the collections and stuff like that. It's worth it. I've read, I think, the first 5 volumes so far. Pretty sure I got through the 5th volume already.
You are a boss.
Dude, well, I'm telling you, these aren't They're not extremely dense reads. I'll
tell
you right.
Yeah, but I know when you picked up volume one.
That's true. When you, there's a guy I think that shows up here later in volume three or volume four. He's from the government or whatever. Man, whenever he shows up on a panel, it's like freaking, I don't know, 10 lines of text that I've got to sit there and go through.
Yeah.
Anytime that guy shows up, I'm like, geez, here we go. But that's really the only, like, mega dense part that I can remember sitting there going, okay, this is kind of getting tedious, but they're quick reads. And they're enjoyable. So if you're a Kirkman fan, if you enjoy watching The Walking Dead and you're a superhero fan, grab a hold of a trade or so of Invincible. I'm sure that you'll enjoy it. And if you have the opportunity to start issue one and go forward first trade or whatever, do so. But other than that, that's kind of all I have to say about it. Ronnie, you got anything else you want to add, man?
No, man. I mean, there's so many in jokes and there's so many little things you got to look out for. I've reread the volumes multiple times.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's volume one of Invincible. Volume two will be discussed at some point. Most likely this year, later this year at some point. So that's going to happen. Don't worry about that. I think that's about it. Ronnie, I'll just throw the plugs in again at the end, man, unless you wanted to rattle some off or something.
I was just going to say I'm still in mourning from the loss of Prince.
Oh, man. That's rough stuff. We lost. Well, you know, it sucks getting old.
I don't want to talk about it.
It really does.
It's not me. He was just taking. I'm not old. You're old.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
He was taken to from us way too early.
I wasn't a huge Prince fan, and it's not I mean, there's a lot of people that really dug his music. Clearly, I can name you two or three songs. I was singing. Yeah. I was singing Raspberry Beret, which is his most popular. I think. Raspberry Beret, at least in my eyes, it was.
I would have to say Purple Rain is probably the most popular.
When Doves Cry.
You've got Party Like It's 1999. Let's Go Crazy.
Let's Go Crazy, Crazy.
Yeah.
See? Okay, so you're naming some off now that I totally forgot. Bat Dance.
Yeah, the whole Batman soundtrack. I didn't appreciate it when it came out, and now I just think it's absolutely brilliant.
Crazy stuff, man. Well, all right. I guess we'll go ahead and end it here. I'll throw plugs in at the end. Did you have anything else you wanted to?
Nope.
All right. Let's go ahead and hit stop and cross our fingers here. All right, everybody. That ends tonight's fun. As always, thank you for joining us. Ronnie and I greatly appreciate it. You can follow Ronnie at Screaming Boy PR on Twitter. Also, check the Screaming Boy Productions Facebook page. And check out his movie podcast he does with Adam Runyon and other guests such as myself, as I do special episodes of the Hulu Documentary Diary, a podcast where I'm soldiering through every documentary on Hulu in alphabetical order. It definitely leads to some great conversations between Ronnie and I on a wide variety of topics. As for myself, you can follow me on Twitter, at Stiznarkey. You can follow the Source Material Twitter, which is at SourceMatCast. Now, next up, May 9th, the Patriarch, Mark Radulich, comes back to the Source Material Podcast, and of course we will be joined by my good buddy, Ronnie Adams. The topic is determined by a little movie being released by Marvel the previous weekend, Marvel's 7-part event, Civil War. Join us for a stupendous time. Until then, faithful listeners, have a good one. Just one more night.